Hey, everybody. Extremely fun show this morning. We discuss Ethereum versus Solana NFTs, centralization versus decentralization, the state of affairs with Utes, and some of the other projects that are pumping on Solana, potatoes after our interview with the 9GAG CEO. But today's sponsor, BarrelX, actually shows us a really good time. We discuss the liquor industry, the whiskey industry, and how they are actually using NFTs to offer fractionalized ownership of barrels and bottles of whiskey. And it's just a lot of fun. I mean, if you listen to it, you'll understand. One of the founders of BarrelX, Matt, is absolutely hilarious. People think that it's an absolute riot. So I hope you enjoy it. It's a great show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, September 7th, and you have tuned in to the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, each and every week, where we talk all things NFT market. We talk about who's winning. We talk about who is barely swimming along and just straight up drowning, because some projects are going up, some projects are going down, and there's many, many, many stories to cover in the NFT space. I'm PO here with my co-host Nifty Nick, Signal, King Kicks, Easy Eats Bodega, Node, and some of our other badass speakers like Spencer, Skull Guru, Mr. Long, and Jesse. And I'm really excited to dive into today's show. Today's show is sponsored by BarrelX. Retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow BarrelX for a chance to win one of the NFTs that we'll be giving away at the end of the show. Really, really juicy sponsorship today. So really excited to dive into that one later on in the show. As always, we have a ton of stuff to talk about. A lot of action in the NFT space this week with the Utes operation going down over on Solana. And, you know, the kind of the collateral stuff that's popping in different areas of the NFT market. You know, before I go any further, I've been throwing to other people all week when I start the show, but I think I got to go back to the OG main man and throw to my main man, Nick, doing monologues on Twitter. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, gracias por preguntar. Me siento genial. Me llamo Nick. ¿Cuánto cuesta?
Wow. So you're inspired by Node and his vast knowledge of Spanish. They actually consulted him because they shot Sicario in Utah, and he's the only guy in Utah that speaks any Spanish at all. Nick, I didn't know you had the Spanish background. I thought you only spoke French.
Este hombre no sabe nada, man. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Imitation's the most... Listen, what is it? Imitation is the...
You'll figure that out one day, sir. But in the interim, you know, I don't think Pio picked up on what I even said, though, because I started with something halfway decent and ended with Quanto Cuesta.
And in the middle was, my name is Nick, you know?
So I can't say I'm like completely fluent. But that's also because I didn't spend years of my life along the Mexican border as you did, Node. So that's, that's the difference between me and you. In terms of how I'm doing, PO, I did a little workout this morning. I'm feeling pretty good.
Ooh, now we're talking.
I got on the new bike from that I picked up from some unfortunate soul who... bought a Peloton during the, and so everyone says, oh, it's Peloton. No, you're wrong. Okay. Peloton, TIN, they ended up buying it during COVID like everyone else. And basically you can just buy all these things for 60% off minimum. And it just seems like a good buy. So like, what's my overall, you know, when I think about downside risk exposure and exercise equipment, there's not much. That's what's going on in my life at the moment is exercise and speaking Spanish.
Well, there you go. I mean, look, it's a power move. It was a very cool thing to do during COVID to buy a Peloton and then not use it. So all those people are now dumping their Pelotons for a 60% loss or a 40% loss, I guess. So yeah, Peloton. Nick just comes in and scoops them up. You know, King Kicks has been in the Discord getting rowdy. Kicks, what has you so amped up today? I'd love to know.
I just had an incredible fantasy football draft last night. I'm just an absolute genius, so had a great time. Had a couple Red Bull vodkas, so you know, just feeling good, baby.
Did you really? Were you partying with the fellas last night for the fantasy draft?
Yeah, but you know, I kept it classy. I was home by 10:45. You know, I drank a water with every alcoholic drink I had, so I'm feeling fantastic.
That's what I like to hear. Easy, how you feeling, man? I have to imagine you've been up until like 3, 4 a.m. trading utes or paying attention to utes in the market. What's going on in your world?
Man, it's good. What if I told you it was not utes last night, but a project called Just Worms that I managed to take 5 Sol up to like 15, a nice little 0.15 to 1.5 overnight, a nice little trade. It seems like a lot of things on Sol are just really active. We got 300,000 volume yesterday on the daily. So it was a great day.
Well, that's what I like to hear. Yeah, I mean, I bought some of those shrimps on Sol after you swept the floor. Are you still holding those or did you already sell those?
I'm still holding them. Yeah, I still think that they get a nice little kick up. I'm bullish more on the fact that they have a nice ETH backing with D Farmer still tweeting about them. So most of those projects that are getting more eyes on them after Utes, seems like there's certainly interest. Franklin's been trolling us by posting his trades where he takes 0.01 Sol profit and then comments that he's going to buy a Bored Ape with that profit.
That's pretty funny. Well, I was going to say, though, and I know the Solana audience is probably going to like really get mad at me over this, but when I like bought the shrimps, I don't remember what I bought them at, like 4.4, and I turned around and like listed them at 5.5. I was like, I mean, you know, this is actually like a lot of risk because I feel like these things could theoretically go to zero, and my upside is like literally, you know, $70 or $80.
So stupid.
I know. Is that always how it is?
10%. So projects that have like the ABC royalty where it's zero, any movement is nice. Something like shrimps where it's 10% is a little bit tougher.
Fair. Nick, you raised your hand. What's going on?
Well, the other problem is you got crypto crashing. So measuring it in US dollars is not really probably the most effective strategy there. But when you mentioned it yesterday, we were having a meeting and Pio like stops the meeting to be like, oh shit, Easy just swept shrimps. I got to go buy. And so then I'm like, okay, am I about to go buy these? So then I went and looked and I'm like, what's my upside here? Like what is my target on these random pictures that I know nothing about? I'm going to scalp what, $50 off of each of these things. And as solid as that is, I mean, that's trading like Franklin over here. So I don't know. That just wasn't my, I ended up skipping over it just because of that amount, but I can understand. I mean, in your case, Easy, if you're buying 10 at a time and aiming for 100+ on each of them, then it starts adding up very quickly. If your hit rate is high, do you have like down, what do you do when when the floor ends up dropping on you?
It depends on the project. Like sometimes I'll just hold or even continue to add if like there's a catalyst upcoming, and then just lower my cost entry. It's way more like specific buys right now, but I was actually going to say, I'm tempted to buy another OK Bear.
Whoa.
Ooh. Ooh. I didn't know Nate Rivers was actually on the team. It made sense why he was pumping them so hard.
He just joined. So they've also been teasing that like Q4 is going to be big for them. There's a whole bunch of like stuff that seems like there may be catalyst for it, and it's held 60 really well. I had said previously, like way back, that 60 was my target, and then I did the usual thing where I lowered it to 40. So now that they're still around 60, there was a nice little Hawaiian shirt at the floor. So I'm still tempted. We'll see what happens.
What about, do you have any ABC? Come on.
I had 17.
You have 17 of them?
I had 17. I'm out of ABC at the moment.
And that was the top volume Solana project over Utes. Am I correct about that?
Before Utes. Utes still is number one. I mean, Utes just set the record for most volume in a single day.
Damn. All right, well, we're going to have to see what happens with that. We'll talk more about that later. Why don't we throw over to Signal to hear a little bit about the weather. Signal, what's going on?
Morning, folks. Must be that miércoles today, Wednesday, the 7th of September. OpenSea volume is at 12 million. We're cruising at these lower volume numbers, hoping that we don't break into single digits, but I'm keeping an eye on the other platforms as well. So 12 seems to be pretty consistent across all the platforms. Onto the leaders, it's quite up there in those double-digit projects. I suspect that we'll start to see more action as we dive deeper into Q4, but for now, the prices are pretty stable. Over the past 24 hours, well, as we're hearing, two Solana projects are leading the OpenSea ranks. You've got Utes and Abracadabra. Utes volume is actually been one of the top traded project over the past month in the short time that it's been out, and that floor is 3 ETH. Yesterday, the mint of the day was Utes Yacht Club, obviously a beautiful child of Utes and Apes. The volume on this was absurd if you were watching. Obviously, being a double derivative, riding off the back of Apes and Utes,
We're losing you a little bit, Sig. We're losing you a little bit.
She's going down. She's going down.
The storm. I just plugged it back in.
Did I cut out?
You were cutting out a little bit, but you're back.
But now you're back.
I'm back. Okay. Right. So I was talking about Utes Yacht Club, a combination of Utes and BAYC. The volume on this was absurd. It was a double derivative riding off Apes and the Utes hype. The floor is 0.08, but if you know your ape traits, then the gold Utes went for 1 ETH. Yesterday, Genuine Undead, Cryptopolis called it. That made a run up up to above 0.3, but that's now pulled back. And it's lastly, Thunderbirds are go in 3, 2, 1. The show sponsor Thunderbirds, they came on last week. They had their mint for their pass. The mint was free. The project sold out in under 3 minutes, and the alpha, it was served to us on a plate. That floor is 0.15. kudos to the team for all the action there. On to crypto, it's all down. BTC down, ETH down, SOL down. BTC is down after the It's true. It's all down. BTC is down after the markets were surprised about the manufacturing data. If you're listening to Sergito when he was on the show a couple of weeks back, it's all about the ISM numbers. On to ETH, all eyes on the merge. On the merge. Yesterday, the Bellatrix upgrade, it happened. It was successful. There was a little hiccup in the merge, but overall the consensus is nothing to worry about, nothing to see here, and the merge will still go ahead. Overall, history shows us that September is an incredibly volatile month for financial markets. It just happens to be that from the year, so you'll expect to see that volatility reflected in crypto. The rankings are showing us that all the attention is on Solana, with double derivatives playing off the back of Utes success, and a top ETH volume is ENS Domains. They are seeing, again, a meteoric rise. So for now, that 24-hour forecast is sunny in Seoul, and it's eyes on the free mints on ETH. Back to you, folks.
Fantastic weather report, as usual, Signal. I like a little bit of performance that you mixed in there with that hiccup. That was
that
awesome.
Hiccup was good.
Yeah, that was elite. That was pretty damn good.
But was it actually performance, or was it a real hiccup?
I think it was a real hiccup.
It could have been a real hiccup. It sounded that good. Some
it was
updates.
So natural, you know. I'm just sitting there thinking, was that a real hiccup? is that what I just heard? Did she just hiccup? She needs a little pat on the back.
Everybody's talking about it. So some other excerpts from the Nifty Daily Digest, which is the newsletter that's written by Signal 5 days a week. You can subscribe at thenifty.com. Is Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange that us Americans aren't able to access, go figure, removed support for USDC and put out its own stablecoin, BUSD. The company would convert the customer's balance of USDC into BUSD. The move is designed to enhance liquidity and capital efficiency for users. Pixel Vault launched their own marketplace at market.pixelvault.com. The marketplace is designed to help collectors keep everything organized within our quote-unquote complex ecosystem. Listings will aggregate from Rarible and OpenSea, and there are no marketplace fees. Last but not least, David Bowie, the late David Bowie's estate, is launching on OpenSea with a new NFT series, Bowie on the Blockchain. It's going to feature works from 9 artists that are paying homage to the late music legend. The artist lineup includes Nadia of Pussy Riot, Ferocious, and others. I think that we're going to see more and more of this. We're going to see late artists' estates look to leverage the artist's work, the artist's legacy, to create NFTs and sell them on the market. So those are your last updates here from the Nifty Daily Digest. A lot of different things happening. I mean, look, we can say that we're in a bear market. People are saying that NFTs are dead, but what we're seeing is we're seeing a ton of venture funding come into the NFT space. We're seeing a ton of new use cases for NFTs. I mean, you know, one shout out to our sponsor, Barrel X. I think a lot of people will find their use case for NFTs and the blockchain very, very interesting. Retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Barrel X for a chance to win the NFT that we're going to be giving away later in the show. Really excited to dive into that sponsorship. But between the venture funding coming into the space, some of these new and interesting ways that businesses and companies are leveraging NFTs, and then also just, you know, the continuing like attention that the mainstream has on it. I was listening to a mixed martial arts podcast. It was Joe Rogan talking to the 170-pound former champ he just lost, that viral knockout that went out or went viral on Twitter. And in the middle, Kamaru Usman, in the middle of the conversation, they just start talking about NFTs in the metaverse, like randomly. Like the name of the show is the MMA show, and they just start discussing NFTs, Bitcoin, crypto, the metaverse in the middle of the show. So like this is only getting more relevant. My big question is, like, over the next 6 to 9 months, do we keep bleeding, or does everybody think that we keep bleeding, and have we already seen bottom? That's the big, like, bajillion-dollar question. It's just hard to tell. But, yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear from whatever is on any of our co-hosts' minds here. You know, Spencer, you know, what are you kind of thinking about the market right now? I know that you're managing a lot of capital these days. What do you make of what's going on?
I think it's like, it's a weird time. You know, people were talking a lot of the timeline last night was about the bull trap. And I think the weird space that we're in is if you take a step back for just even 10 seconds from crypto land, and you look at the rest of the world, like things are giga bearish, like everywhere in the bond market and whatever, any other market you look at, it's not great, right? Bonds have been the worst. Stocks were looking shaky. But crypto is ripping, and I think a lot of that was on this merge trade, this idea that the merge is bullish. But I find it really hard personally to think about why, in the short run, the merge is that bullish. The decreased issuance doesn't really change anything. The only thing that could really be meaningful is two things. One is maybe there's a lot of capital waiting to stake in the ETH2 contract. Maybe there's a lot of people in Europe, specifically in the family office space, who wouldn't invest in ETH pre-merge because of the sustainability aspect. That's another one. And then the last one is maybe there's like some amount of people who like just don't think the merge is actually going to happen, and once it happens, that the fact that it happened will change things, right? So those are the three bull cases, but I think each of those probably is not that big of a factor versus the number of people who really want to believe that ETH is about to rip. And I think what we saw last night and we will continue to see is that like those people are just going to get absolutely wrecked. That's my personal view, and I could be totally wrong on it. I'm not even that high conviction in it, but the way that I'm playing this is I'm just not trading between it. Maybe I'll trade a little bit. I'm picking up some stuff. I might pick up some portals because they're cheap, might pick up some other like cheap stuff, but there's just going to be so much volatility going through the merge. I have some limit orders set pretty low, like sub 1,000, and I'm just like sitting back. I'm actually playing Magic the Gathering right now instead of looking at the NFT market because I am waiting.
You playing Arena?
I am playing Legacy, a Legacy League on Modo.
Oh, cool.
Well, there you go. I mean, you heard it from Spencer. I mean, I also think that the ETH merge from a price action perspective is probably a nothing burger. I just don't see how that's going to be like the big pump. All these hype events in all of crypto and NFTs, they typically pump into the event, then the actual event isn't that big of a deal. And in this case, it actually isn't. I think long term, I mean, we talked about it, it's basically the biggest thing to happen since the advent of Ethereum. You could make a case that the advent of Solana is, big, just as big. But regardless, it's a big event. But we'll see how it plays out longer term. Jesse raised his hand. Jesse, what's going on?
Yeah.
Excuse
some
me?
Non-tech.
What the hell was that sound?
I don't know. Kix was mocking my voice, I think. But that's all great technical analysis. My non-technical analysis has always been that ETH. If you think that the ETH is going to rip because of the merge, yeah, I agree. That's probably not. Not very logical. I just think it still owns the narrative right now in crypto. It still owns the narrative in terms of it's more than just money. It's actually functional too, whatever that means for you. And the ETH maxis is one thing, but I think, I think it's a safer bet than Bitcoin till year end, just because of the narrative. And again, these things don't always trade rationally. So yeah, if the merge goes smoothly, a lot of people think ETH has been underpriced for a long time. That's one thing. NFTs, I'm very, very, very selective. I just got a potato because I just think that's one of the few. I just think that's the one thing that could possibly be like a Digi Daigaku or something else. They could go to 5 or 6 ETH if they really decide to, figure it out and blow things up. People stake. And so even though there's only 130 listed or whatever, that's not representative. But, there could be a squeeze at some point. But other than that, I'm buying almost nothing. I'm looking, I'll bring it up later. But there's a Project Stoics today I'll definitely mint. But, NFTs, I'm being very, very selective. But I just think the ETH like narrative is still good, even if it doesn't rip, but it goes up, a few percentage points. That's probably better than your stock portfolio. So I'm still bullish on ETH through the end of the year.
Fair enough. Node, you raise your hand. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, I just think it's really interesting if we look at the ETH BTC ratio. It's like almost at its all-time high for the cycle. And this is in the depths of a bear market. So that's a good news for ETH. I don't know what that means about the old Bitcoiners theory that it's a safer asset in a bear market. This is very interesting, and it's all likely because of the merge. But one other thing I wanted to mention is, if you all are not listening or watching the YouTube interviews these guys are doing, they've been awesome. So, I mean, last week they had Udi on here, who was really, really good. And then yesterday they had the 9GAG CEO, and it was really interesting. Like I really enjoyed hearing him talk about the project and his thoughts on the space. So just got to give us a little cross promotion here, to the YouTube channel, because there's some good stuff going on over there.
I love how now that Node hosts Node Mode on the YouTube channel, he's like, yeah, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube. These guys are doing a pretty good job. And hey, let me just slip it in. I got a podcast on there too, No, I'm just kidding. But
hey, you just did it for me, dude. My whole plan just works.
Yeah, because your psyops is working on me. But no, yeah, like yesterday we had the 9GAG CEO on. And since Jesse brought up potatoes, he clearly has an understanding of the NFT space or Web3 in general. He spent a lot of his own money on NFTs, buying what he described as expensive JPEGs. We didn't dig into the specifics on what he bought, but all the questions that we asked him, I felt like he had pretty damn good answers for. Over 50% of the interview was just us treating him as a thought leader. I think my favorite part was Nick asked a joke question about why the potatoes are mooning you, or why you see the potato's butt, and what strategy went into that decision.
It was an anus conversation. That was specifically what it was about. So I want to be very concrete about what went down there. We were discussing buttholes.
Yeah. You used the term anus and talked about the potato's anus. And I just loved how he took the question so seriously. He literally was at first we were thinking that no NFTs had showed the ass yet. So we were like, okay, well, we want to show the ass. And then we thought for stage two, maybe do we show the other part of the potato? But then we thought about it a little more and we thought, I think that we're going to keep showing the ass. And just the depth of strategy that went into, that decision was absolutely hilarious to me. Kix, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I was just going to say that it just quickly chime in on the whole merge stuff, because I've seen some like tweets or threads, and people are like, you know, not everyone understands like the benefit of the merge and how it's going to like, you know, reduce emissions by like 3 to 5% a year, which is super significant. And it like hasn't been priced in or whatever, but like, I think it's literally like 100% priced in. And that's why ETH is at 1500 and almost every other coin is back at its lows. You know, like Solana's back at its lows, Avalanche back at its lows.
Bitcoin. Most of the
Bitcoin back at its lows. Exactly. The only one, there's a couple exceptions, like Polygon's a little bit above its lows, but Polygon may be trading like paired with Ethereum since it's like an L2 sort of hybrid. But yeah, I think like basically if there wasn't this merge event coming, Ethereum would probably be at 1100. So I think it is already priced in.
And I want to hear from Nick, but Kix, don't you think that like the L2s, you kind of have to look at in a different way because they're still, you know, they're so young compared to the L1s. They're kind of tied to the L1s. There's probably way more volatility, more upside, more downside. Like, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's way smarter people than me in terms of understanding like the relationship between L1s and L2s. It's actually for me kind of confusing because I'm like, okay, if Ethereum over like 7 years becomes like hyper efficient at processing transactions, then like what do the L2s do? They're just always like more hyper efficient, you know what I mean, when you're looking at like a 10-year horizon or something like that. But I think it's like a different ball game looking at the L2s than the L1s. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting because I've seen some threads where people are like, you know, are people really understanding the value of the merge? And I'm like, well, it looks like the market does.
Absolutely. Nick, you have your hand raised. Go ahead, Spencer.
I was just going to say quickly that what I'm most interested in is the change in narrative for something like Solana post the merge. So like a lot of the Solana narrative has been around, you know, it being more upgradable, more efficient, more centralized, and maybe there's benefits to being more centralized. And I think that maybe post merge, the relationship and between them might change. And I'm just curious to see that.
Good call. Nifty Nick, and then we'll throw to Easy. Probably yeah. Easy as a Solana comment, but go ahead,
I mean,
Nick.
Thank God. So buttholes, what I was going to say about these is the situation with that, actually, the best part of the answer that he gave was a book recommendation, which was whatever you think the opposite. So that was my main thing. Like, as much as my question was a joke, he ended up giving an actual answer with a resource where he was saying that he was inspired by that, and that's how they ended up coming up with the with the potatoes with butts. So I thought that was a good recommendation from him. I'm going to end up reading that book. Anyways, that was the main synopsis of that situation. Also, man, if you're trading ETH, it's tough out there. You got to wait for this daily close because it's been just in this crazy range. And it's almost back up to being a green
day. Nick, is it bouncing off of your seventh level to your 10th level, or what are you looking at over there?
Okay, so I do have a lot of lines on here, but there's others with much bigger gaps. The level that it's currently above is 1541. There were some other lines over there. I could delete some of them. They're not all requirement. But the ranges have been relatively narrow otherwise for a lot of these. So, I mean, we're just seeing these a fairly tight range with ETH specifically. I've stopped looking at BTC because I just kept losing money on those trades. But I'm not trading that anymore. But ETH, I am interested in it. But we're back at the same place as before, which was, we're at 1545 right now, but it was, what's the 1557 or whatever the frickin' EIP, whatever it is. I just keep watching this range, but I'm not making any trades at this point in time. I did move. I don't actually even have ETH. I'm mostly in US, either USDC or GUSD at this point. And I'm just waiting to see how this volatility shakes out.
Yeah, Easy, you had your hand raised. Something to contribute on that front or maybe the Solana discussion?
Yeah, it was just back to Spencer's comment. I mean, like, more recently, the centralization thing gets brought up a lot, but I just continue to think, like, do we really think most of the general public gives a shit if it's centralized? You know, like, I don't think many people are going to be too upset about that fact. And the fact is, like, it is a cheaper blockchain. So, like, I keep circling back to this and having a lot more conversation as more people from ETH start to get interested in asking, how do I buy this stuff? And that's always like this, the main talking point back is like, oh, it's centralized. It's like, yeah, sure. But that also means like we're seeing massive development efforts and way more progress across that area from like a developer standpoint. So it's like, I almost think that the centralization thing, some people try to say it as a negative when like, I almost think of it as a positive.
It's a negative if you're going to consider the thing literally money, which is, in my opinion, the biggest gap in the space, if you will. And if you're going to consider the thing literally money, then centralization is a problem. Easy. Do Solana NFT traders, like, is there a passion of thinking of Solana as money? I'd imagine there is not, right?
And can I just say something real quick? I don't even care if our NFTs are decentralized or centralized. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to trade NFTs because I like trading NFTs. You know what I mean? I'm not like some like, oh my gosh, it has to be like immutable on the blockchain or whatever. Like, no, I'm trying to get some cash.
Yeah, and I know that about you, but in all seriousness, Easy, like, is there like a school of thought where they say Solana is money?
Not really.
Like, yeah, so there you go. So who cares?
On the blockchain, but it's like, I don't know, man. My like entire argument here is like, I just think that like if we're gonna see more companies enter the space and more people enter the space, they're gonna want somebody into. Like, it's just who we are as like humans, I think. I don't know. The Discord thinks it's a bad take, so I'm reading these comments and it's just kind of funny. But like, I just don't see a bunch of Web2 companies hyped to dive into ETH when gas is expensive, people can't always afford it, and like the decentralization aspect doesn't really matter to a lot more people than this small echo chamber.
Yeah, it doesn't matter as long as it's not money. I'm surprised to hear that maybe the Discord is just mad because they have more ETH than Solana. Go ahead, Nick.
I feel like there's a Bitcoin thing with this obsession over the word money. I don't know, like
when you're talking about Bitcoin, it's like money versus like the government money. I don't think people are putting Solana up against government money.
But you're not.
I think it's more about the free money. Definitely like a sound.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we got everyone talking all at the same time. Nick and then Jesse.
But I don't understand. Like, the bottom line is, in the NFT space, you're trading to make money. So when I refer to that and I'm trading, I'm saying I just made money. I realized returns on that specific thing. The distinction of money or not money, it doesn't really matter. It's an asset with value. And the distinction between money and it, like, I don't see what the line there is as it applies to NFT trading and what that even word like implies. I don't want to send us down like a crazy path, but the bottom line is like, I'm trying to make money, and that's what I'm doing in the NFT space. You can call it whatever you want, but I'm able to convert that underlying asset into something, into cold hard cash, which to me is money. I'm not trying to convert it into Bitcoin. I'm just trying to convert it into actually something that's sitting in my bank account at the end of the day. That is the ultimate outcome for me with all of these different things.
Right. The reason I brought it up is because if you want to talk about centralization versus decentralization, the most important part of that with these crypto assets is whether it's actually money. That's why I brought it up. I'm not talking about like NFT trading, blah, blah, blah. That's why I was actually saying it's positive for Solana that it's centralized. Like, you have Sam Bankman-Fried like putting Solana on his back, you know, making deals or, you know, donating to government entities and pushing things forward for quote unquote crypto. That's good. And then, you know, institutions, businesses will be from Web 2, from Web 1, from wherever, will be able to plug into that centralized entity, and there'll be a smooth experience, and there's a technical support phone number, things like that. That's why I was saying that it's good. The decentralization thing is really only a conversation if you want to talk about things like money that actually need to be decentralized. But obviously, we can talk about this all day. It gets off the rails really quick. The whole NFT space hates Bitcoin. So, I'm not going to have too many fans in this audience. Real quick before I throw to Jesse, reminder, ladies and gentlemen, today's show is sponsored by Barrel X. Really, really cool NFT business. I'm so excited to hear from them. Retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Barrel X NFT on Twitter for a chance to win one of the NFTs that were given away at the end of the show. It is not this is not like a picture of a shrimp like we were talking about. This is an actual NFT business that has a very unique use case for blockchain technology. So I'm excited to discuss that with you guys a little bit later. Jesse, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, at least, like you said, this could spin off for a six-hour separate NFT space. But since I already interrupted Nick, I'll at least finish the thought that, yeah, that clearly Bitcoin is one of the key attractions for it, for the Balaji's of the world and the, you know, new network state, decentralized SI, centralist money is.
I hope we get that guy on the show sometime. Balaji would be amazing to have on the show.
Good luck. But yeah, he's, I mean, but that's critical. And if you're in your like Twitter, even Ether bubble, like Punk6529, but just a bunch of these people, like decentralization is the whole reason to get involved. But I think as we scale, you're going to see a lot of tension there where people, the next generation of people are going to be like, I don't even know. I don't care. Just like, give me my, this cool crypto ticket that I can just one click and, you know, show up and get some, you know, whatever the next generation of NFTs is going to be. I do think there's some tension there and it's worth considering. And I think it's also like potentially it was a blind spot for why some people maybe faded soul. Obviously it had the technical problems, you know, a little bit, you know, some bad user experience. There's some things that still need to be worked out, but it's also just anytime it's something's outside your bubble, it can be, you know, you can kind of miss something. So it is worth considering. And that is also why I still, even despite what everybody's saying about ETH being at the top, is I think it's relatively strong just because, again, of the narrative, if they're able to pull off this pretty massive kind of change from proof of work to proof of stake, and if it goes over smoothly compared to, you know, the struggles that Sol and some other and hacks and all these other bad crypto narratives, I just think it has I've said it over and over that this is, you know, crypto is internet money. So narrative sometimes trumps fundamentals, but we'll see.
We'll see. No, do you have your hand raised?
Yeah, I apologize to continue going on this topic, but I had my hand raised nice and politely while everyone was talking over themselves. So I will have my, you know, my day in the sun here. I disagree with most of you. I think, I think decentralization absolutely matters. And it's when you think about things longer term, right? And this is maybe the issue, the difference between me and Kix. Like Kix thinks about 3 hours in advance, and I'm thinking decades, baby. You know what I mean? So the difference is like it doesn't seem like it matters until it absolutely matters, right? So if I'm gonna own my Ringer, like I feel most comfortable with it on Ethereum. You know what I mean? Like. There's no centralized entity. Like there's nothing that's gonna. It's this whole idea of it being, you know, censorship resistant. It's completely freely tradable, and that's where the value accrues. So if I'm thinking long term, 5, 10, 15 years out, the decentralization component matters because I think it's what will have the most longevity in the space. I mean, you look at all these other blockchains, and I mean, how many of them come and go within like a matter of like 2 years? Like, I mean, Luna, we all thought it was this big deal, right? Like, and it went from 30 billion to zero. And that's I think is a function of the centralized component, right? And of the way that they organized it. So I think longer term, the longer term you think, you have that mindset, definitely the more important it becomes. Like I came from Amazon's world and I was just, I mean, when I was a seller on their marketplace and it was just terrible. Like you are like nothing but a cog in their wheel, and they have complete control over you as a business, and that's a horrible spot to be in. So that's just my thought on, you know, I do think it matters long term.
Yeah, I think just to frame it up a little bit different, because you're talking about like a fine art piece that you're looking to hold for decades. I totally get it, but then you're kind of putting that in a similar asset class to almost like gold, right? Like it, when you kind of really boil it down. But if you think about like just some gamer that wants to play some Web3 game that he heard is good, and to be able to just plug into like this centralized entity like Solana. That's what I think about, is just like a really smooth user experience. And that's where I don't think it matters that much about centralization. Ben has his hand raised. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, I think without getting too much into centralization and decentralization, which, you know, has its own thread you can pull on, when you're talking about money, all of this stuff is money. Like it all has a corresponding dollar value that people would, you know, sell to get US dollars. But it's basically anything that you can, you know, exchange that's similar to a currency that you can buy services, or you could exchange debts and things like that, is basically money. It's just that people who look at Bitcoin look at it as like sound or ultrasound money. And there's definitely differences in like the details of what types of money there are. But essentially, money in the first place was created just so you can get away from the bartering system of having to trade like blueberries for a chicken and shit like that. So, you know, I think when you look at Sol and ETH and any of the other altcoins, the conversation around money is just kind of ridiculous to me, because everybody's looking at it as money. They're using it to buy things. They're using it to gift and send and do transactions. So it's really Bitcoin versus the rest of them when you start talking about which type of that money is actually sound and controlled in a way that gives people confidence in the long term.
Well, I agree with you on that for sure. The Bitcoin versus everything else. Kix, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I know you probably want to move topics, but just quickly saying, like, I 100% agree that Bitcoin and Ethereum are, like, you know, probably some of the most decentralized protocols out there. But look at Ethereum, right? Like, if you do something shady with an NFT, you get blacklisted from OpenSea. You write some code that the government doesn't like, you get arrested, and anyone that uses your service gets their assets frozen. I'm just saying that I think as we hit mass adoption, even the decentralized protocols will see some centralization.
Hey, good take. Nick, you have your hand raised, and I saw you.
Yeah, it's not about none of this Bitcoin bullshit, because that stuff is absolute. It's not. It's going to zero. It's worthless. So the what I was going to talk about with OpenSea, it's kind of funny how they ride this like balance of centralization and decentralization. There's going to be a bunch of lawsuits inevitably, in terms of the people that have suffered as a result of the fact that this is quote decentralized. It's just like a bunch of it's a bunch of nonsense, basically. They like use it when it's to their advantage, and then they use centralization when it's to their own advantage. So where you're talking about like you could take some action that could get you blocked from OpenSea, yeah, sure. But I don't know. I just think that it's interesting how they're riding that line, and they're not going to be able to continue doing that. And I think the result of where that's going is inevitably a lawsuit where someone's going to say, hey, and we discussed this yesterday, I think, which was if you end up buying one of these scam NFTs that are on there on a regular basis, or like people are buying it on a regular basis, at some point, someone's going to file something and say, yo, you can't just keep pointing at decentralization as the reason that all of these consumers who viewed your site as a discovery mechanism to purchase those things that ended up causing them to lose thousands and thousands of dollars in assets just in assets. It like you can't do that no matter what's written in the terms. So that's something that I think inevitably is going to play out. And I'll be interested to see how that works, despite the last thing, which I'm not sure about this, is like essentially their term says, even if you don't check a box, you've agreed to this terms just by visiting the site. Now, I don't need to hash that out because it's completely irrelevant to the point.
That's a damn good lawyer, Nick.
But sure. Like,
looking at the paper means you've signed it.
Kix, your existence in this world means that you actually agreed to something that I just wrote down on this piece of paper. So I just want you to know that. You don't even know what's on the paper. But yeah, I'll just be interested to see how that plays out. And ultimately, this whole decentralized thing, I mean, it's not even clear whether or not that's going to result in anything positive at all. We understand it conceptually, but
gosh, I wish DC Investor was here. Oh, this is just going. I'm listening to Nick going on and on.
Okay, like, all right. Well, hey,
you know,
let's keep holding on to your decentralized nonsense.
I wish we could have Balaji and DC Investor on the show at the same time. That would be incredible. The thing is, yeah, I mean, look, just to put a bow on this conversation, then I'm going to throw to Micah, and he's got pure play NFT talk, so I know that everybody here is here for that. But like people, the craziest part about all this shit is that really insanely smart people like DC Investor go down deep, deep rabbit holes and have like concrete ideas on, you know, how all this stuff's going to play out. And a smart guy like that, you just can't discount it. Then you got like an absolute giga brain like Balaji, who's got his whole set, writing books on it. Listen to him speak. He'll just like blow your mind. It's just crazy to see how it's going to, kind of play out. My thought is like, I just don't see how Ethereum is going to be the next global reserve currency. That's my thought. That's like what I kind of come back to. But we can't just talk about this all day. So actually, I want to throw to Mr. Long first. for the Discord roundup, and then I'll throw to Micah. And so it's just straight pure play NFT talk. Reminder to everybody to retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top. Our sponsor, Barrel X, today's sponsor, is giving away an NFT at the end of the show. If you retweet that tweet and follow Barrel X, you'll have a chance to win. But I want to hear from Mr. Long for his signature Discord roundup, and then I'll rotate speakers a little bit, and we'll get Micah G going. Mr. Long, what's going on, amigo?
Howdy, P.O., my Luigi-looking partner. Cue the laugh track. This one took me all weekend. What do a cow pie and Nifty Nick's NFT trading strategy have in common? You guessed it. They are both manure. Ooh-ee. Sorry.
Nice.
I'll send you some horse hooves to glue that ego back together. But in the meantime, let's get into the Discord roundup. Shrimps were mentioned earlier. That's a project that exists. We're also discussing JDU Avas, which are in the process of minting. This team is working on an AR metaverse, which sounds pretty neat. They have Michael Bay doing some stuff. You know him as the director of Transformers, or better yet, The Rock, with Sean Connery and Nick Cage. What a hoot. Speaking of owls, Stoics by Gabe starts minting today, but the art looks a little too similar to the Mournbirds by our very own Sarah Scripps, so we may boycott this one in her honor. Of course, we're talking Utes, because who ain't? But the Portal Gang is making money on some of these derivatives like Ute Yacht Club, Baby Utes, Yeats, and the like. But I'm not going to give away everything now, not financial advice, but you got to get a Portal and get in there. I will say that right now, a lot of chatter is around the content the Nifty team is putting out. And we're excited. About the bold new marketing strategy where Nick has decided to go full scorched earth. I'm guessing the new CryptoPunk profile is making him act out, though. I must say, the Bored Ape looked like him, but the Punk looks like what I imagine esteemed Portal member Beefy Ginger looks like. I'm assuming Beefy Ginger is a reference to his red hair color, but maybe he's a fan of beef flavored ginger. It's hard to say. But hey, things are getting rowdy around here. Apparently, money doesn't exist anymore, so we're just horse trading. On top of that, everyone's growing a mustache. Kix is throwing horseshoes a dip in his lip. Nick is clowning around, pissing off these bulls. Y'all, we got ourselves a bona fide rodeo out here. Ride 'em. Cowboy, yeah!
this was almost like your Discord roundup on acid today, Mr. Long. But thank you very much for the Discord roundup, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Long, member of the Nifty community, with the Discord roundup discussing the action that the community members have been participating in the NFT market. Micah G, what's going on, amigo?
Yeah, so this thought kind of started when Nick was rambling yesterday, and one of the stories he mentioned was Rainmakers and whether or not that community, the DraftKings fantasy sports community, is into NFTs. And I will say I came in with those people in early 2021. They were huge into Top Shot, and so they are well aware of NFTs. And this morning, they came out, but there's news that So Rare, if you have ever heard of that, S-O-R-A-R-E, is making a new NBA-based sort of collectible cards. The thing about So Rare is that they do like free fantasy sports using those NFTs. And I just, like, as a larger macro thing in this like kind of rough environment, someone is going to get that done correctly. And that is going to be a huge market. If someone can capture fantasy sports or video games where the in-life sort of performance of a player, if there's a market for that, if there's basically a stock market of buying and selling these individual player NFTs, and the better the player gets in real life, the more valuable those NFTs become, there's a huge market for people betting on in-person performance of sports figures for money. And so, like, we have groups like FIFA Ultimate Team that sort of have that, but it's super centralized. It's super sort of, they just print to oblivion, basically. So there's this use case for NFTs in fantasy sports and in video games, in sports-based fantasy video games, that if somebody gets it right, there's a huge appetite for. The thing is, DraftKings Rainmaker, just looking at it briefly, is an absolute cash grab, and they're definitely not doing it right. So Rare has been really good. They currently have two products. They have a soccer one and a MLB one, and they're very good about sort of low print amounts, printing the player. So I don't want to entirely say that's the correct way to do it, but one of those groups is going to capture that market correctly of, like, how do we bet on players and buy and sell players, and as they get better in real life, you gain value from it. So I'm definitely looking into that. There's a way to, like, sign up for their beta, but somebody's going to do that correctly, and it's going to be really lucrative. You just might have to get through a couple of cash grabs or large associations trying to steal your money before you get to one that balances the needs of the people playing the secondary market with the company that creates it.
1,000% someone's going to get it done right. It's also going to be so fun once it happens. And it's going to give people that are like these college sports super fans or just sports super fans in general, like an avenue for them to monetize their, their kind of knowledge and the research that they do. Right now, the only way to do that is like fantasy sports in the United States. Like if people aren't in the United States, like fantasy football, like American football is really popular. It's like 17 weeks long and people get really into it, and they'll do like a league where everybody has to throw $500 and there's 20 people in the league or something. So the prize pool is actually a significant amount of money. And then the idea is that the people that are the most knowledgeable about the sport can pick the best teams and blah, blah, blah. So I feel this NFT stuff will really make that even cooler.
And on your note, it's like they just allowed college players to monetize their own,
likeness,
like, image. So that might actually be what it ends up being, is if you could create a fantasy football where the player NFTs come out when they're in college, then you have an entire betting lineup of, like, is this player going to make it to the NFL? So you have, you know, prices going up and down as the player gets better or worse in college. Then if you hold one of those NFTs all the way through college, he gets drafted, he starts, you know, 3 years down the road, you might have a massively valuable NFT that you bought for pennies on the dollar when they were in college. So there's just this, like, awesome idea of being able to bet on these players, like, sort of career trajectories early on, but someone has to do it in a way that doesn't feel like a cash grab, and then that could be an awesome product.
I think it'll definitely be an NFT native entity, and a previous sponsor of the show, Game of Silks, is basically doing that with horse racing, where you buy the horse early before, like, they've won any kind of, like, they haven't won the Triple Crown yet or whatever, and then if you pick the right horse, you get the benefits. Signal has her hand raised. Signal, what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Can't believe I'm bringing this up, but it's eonestamines. Like, you just can't ignore these anymore. They're just like where we are in the market right now. We're seeing that the leaders are not doing much. Obviously, these teams are building, and at some point later this year, we're going to get more action there. But for right now, on the ETH side, all the action's happening really at the bottom. And eonestamines. Yesterday, I was doing a little bit of research around. There's a new way to write them, so you can put. It's going to sound ridiculous, but now you can put a dollar sign. So you have $123.eth or $1234.eth, however many numbers there are. But this little pocket of ENS has been absolutely exploding. When I went to bed last night, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll buy them in the morning. And they were like they were definitely sub 0.05, I want to say. And then when I woke up today, they're already at 0.15. So knowing ENS, we'll see more momentum here. And if you can find something that's interesting, this is definitely a flip. But obviously, you need to know ENS numbers, whether that is letters or numbers.
I'd be curious. So, Nick, what do you think about the idea of, you know, dollar sign 224 as an ENS domain having like big value? What do you think of that?
I mean, it's the same that we saw play out with domain names before. The only thing that's different here, which is a little ridiculous, I mean, people were just buying and squatting, and this is just such a perfect market for it because you're basically just targeting speculators, which is how kind of the domain market exists as well. Sometimes you have an idea, you buy a domain. That's like it's just that's just an action, and when you start getting in the habit of it, you just start buying on a regular basis. In the case of ENS, a lot of those domains are incredibly cheap, and so you end up paying a few bucks, and it's just an easy pickup. I think, generally speaking, that my only like I don't love it as a market because let's put it this way. If .eth resolved to a domain, it would make it worth more, but that's not the dot that I want. You know, that's not the TLD that I'm looking for. So like if they had .nft, for example, which is what Unstoppable Domains has, then I'd be interested, but they would have to like, and they may end up buying that TLD because it doesn't cost, I mean, it costs a lot for an individual. I think it's like $250,000 to get one. And if you don't get approved, you just lose that money. So there's some risk involved with it. But if you can end up buying those sorts of things and they can make it cross-functional, then that becomes a lot more interesting to me, where you're essentially your like domain is also this this endpoint for you at multiple on through multiple places, and that is something that's relatively interesting. So I don't know. I mean, dollar sign, name it whatever. I mean, I like it because the other ones aren't accessible, and I guess I could be dollar sign whatever. But we're not even using it for the purpose that's there. The vast majority of times that I go in. Send something, you can't talk to someone who owns 50 of these ENS domains. You end up, every time I end up sending money, I end up going and copying and pasting the actual address that that ENS domain resolves to, or verifying that I have that wallet, because I don't even trust myself. I'm like, okay, well, I have one called nixnfts.eth. I like it, but I don't know whether or not nixnfts.eth, like I end up questioning myself. So I end up going there and just copying the address directly. So anyways, long story short, I don't love this space, but there's like a shocking amount of activity. Someone literally just swept the floor of ENS domains the other day for 100 ETH. And it's like, what? You just got a bunch of garbage. I don't understand. That's like going
It's 0% royalties at least, and gas is basically zero. So I don't know if that's contributing at all, but I agree with the bear case. But I mean, on other NFT news, I did want to mention before we go to BarrelX, because this Stoics project, which just started minting for pre-mint a few minutes ago, and sometimes I've noticed these mints come in two and threes, these good mints. I think it was the aliens last time, but so maybe BarrelX and Stoics will do well. I don't know about Stoics; it has some crossover with the Nifty. Jessica Yartrosky, who's our pretentious New York socialite of the Discord, I think is involved. Also Mournbird, Sarah Script, you got a pre-mint. She had a pre-mint. So there's some connections there. But Gabe Weiss is, I think, a dope artist on his own. I know Allison's a fan. So again, I don't know if this is my own bubble, but go check it out. The art's dope. It's pretty obvious that it's got this neo-Picasso vibe. I don't normally like when people compare old artists to NFTs pretentiously, as some have done on the show before. Subtweet. But yeah, this is a dope. I don't know if I have a pre. This is just the pre-sale, but I think public is on Friday. And yeah, I think it's if you're looking at real art, and this is one of the kind of up and coming. He's done collabs with Dario DeSena and all these other early NFT peeps. And you may or may not get a redeemable of a personal thirst trap from Jessica Yartrosky if you buy one. I'm not sure. That's just a rumor, but.
Gonna have to check out Stoics. Thanks for mentioning Jessica's name like five times, Jesse. So on the ENS Army side, just because I don't want the ENS Army to misunderstand, like my take on it, I guess. If you're like a node DC investor type that's uber bullish on Ethereum, then I actually think that ENS is like the biggest thing ever. The times that I get confused are when you see like a 10 ETH floor on like, four random emoji ENS or three random emoji ENS, because I just don't really see how that is valuable. Like I understand the numbers way more than that. I understand the numbers a lot more. And we're going to get Daniel Got Hits on this show, who's obviously like an ENS champ, and we'll dig in with him. He's a pal, so we'll definitely dig in. A Signal, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, just a like preface here. When I'm talking about that, you can put a dollar sign in front of this stuff. This is just for flips. This is not to hold long term. Like if you want to have the conversation about holding long term ENS stuffs, people like Whale Shark is the guy to be speaking to on that topic. He has some of probably the best ENS domain names that I've seen. But this is just purely flip, hold for 4 hours, 5 hours, 16 hours, get in, get out, make that trade. It's just where we are in a market. It's just like, what can you find that you can flip quickly, low risk, doesn't require much capital, and you can make a nice return. So this is why I think these type of like new ways of writing ENS domains, like we're going to see some momentum in it for sure this week.
Yeah, and I think that the technical capabilities of ENS have yet to be realized. And if you think about domain names just being like, okay, you know, michael.com, all right, it does one thing. You type in michael.com, it takes you to a website, right? I feel like, you know, that's like sort of that's the legacy phone, like the rotary phone. And then ENS domains is the iPhone. And it's like, which one can do more? Well, the iPhone can do a whole lot more than the phone that your grandmother had, right? So I do think that's the case. I think Mr. Market is manic depressive if he's pricing dollar sign, you know, emoji, and then random other stuff the same way that it's pricing Michael.eth, right? If you have Michael.eth or Easy.eth or Nick.eth or Signal.eth, I think that's got a lot more value than random shit. I also think 313.eth and 617.eth have real value. So before the ENS army attacks, I just want to make sure that I kind of go on record and discuss all of that. Easy, if you're with us, you just bought an OK Bear, man. 60 Sol on an OK Bear, and you're bullish, huh?
69 Sol to be exact, but yeah, I like what they're kind of doing. They've been teasing a bunch of stuff with Jordan Brand. They just put together an NFTBA team, so there's, I guess, some like rotating league for basketball where holders are in it. Wish I knew about that. Would have been dope to at least send in a highlight tape, try to get on that squad. But all in all, man,
would you play? Would you compete?
Absolutely, bro. What? For sure.
Oh, so we might see Easy. We might see Easy competing at some point.
An OK Bears jersey, but no, they got finally they did like what the community's been saying. They got a bunch of people for their social team. We can clearly see that social drive right now is like the biggest indicator in the market. They've been teasing a bunch of stuff from Nate Rivers about Q4. So I think right now it's held 60 very well. There was a Hawaiian shirt second row off the floor that I just decided to grab. I'm happy to just kind of sit on it, especially with Sol dumping at the moment. I think that there's more upside in some of these projects that are at least trying to get better. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, and people might not know that you're one of the more technical traders in the space. That's really your specialty. From a price action perspective, you came in and scooped it at 69 ETH. The floor is close to 60 ETH, right? And so I'm just wondering, like, is this a low?
Yeah,
like,
Sol. It's held 60 for a while. So like for me, when I'm seeing stuff like that, like, okay, if it can maintain that price action and the floor's small enough, like 7 sales gets it up to where I entered and sales gets it over 70, the floor is still really thin. We've already seen it pump all the way up to 200. So like, I'm just kind of eyeing it from that perspective. If the catalysts are good and Nate can actually stay on socials, kind of pushing this narrative about it, showing that there is a change happening and that they're trying new stuff, I think that people still don't forget, like, this was a huge hype project before Utes and fell off because they just kind of didn't deliver anything. But now it seems like they're actually trying to deliver something. So I'm open to see them trying to pivot and change. I'm taking a loss on this if I do have to end up cutting it. But I got one that I liked, got one that I saw was a decent price, and I just kind of pulled the trigger at this point.
And so in the Solana ecosystem, you got OK Bears. They were the kind of first smash hit, like a little bit of a crossover hit. Obviously not the first valuable Solana NFT. I'm not trying to disrespect Solana Monkey Business, Shadowy Supercoders, and some of those other projects that came earlier. But I think OK Bears was the first one to post like, you know, number one volume on OpenSea, like more volume than Ethereum. Now, obviously, Utes is the story of the week. What other, like, you know, who else is really doing it big on Solana right now? I know you used to talk about Solport Tom a lot. What's the story with that?
Yeah, so Tayo's still cruising. They got their additional mint coming up, and it's a similar play as Utes, where you have to mint it with their token instead of Sol. So I launched a video on YouTube yesterday that actually talks about projects with SPL tokens that I think play on the back of what Utes did, where it's not a Sol mint, but they raise and create utility for that underlying token. So even if you're priced out of the asset itself, like robots are over 150 Sol, a lot of people are priced out, you can still get exposure to that ecosystem through Scrap, which is their token. There is a catalyst for that. That usually has more upside, and tokens are way more liquid, so you can enter and exit those positions more freely. So they're still building a lot of stuff. And the best thing about Tayo is everybody uses their VC, their voice chat, for alpha. It's regarded as like one of the best alpha voice chat in Solana. So that's like their big value add right now, outside of just whatever Tom's working on. They're still finalizing a whole new round for a net new token, because Tom did buy a project and it had some poor tokenomics. So that's the main work and driver here. Once that's finalized, a lot more upside on it. The other big one is GE, also for the ETH people, known as 9x9 by OpenDAO founder. He has a pseudonym on Solana called HGE based on his wallet address. And he launched a project called HGC that has 0% royalties.
You're breaking up a bunch and we're missing the name. What's the name?
ABC. Can you see?
ABC. Okay. All right. You're breaking up a ton, man. We're going to move on to the sponsor. So ladies and gentlemen, today's show is sponsored by Barrel X. We're going to dive into that sponsored spot. Retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Barrel X NFT on Twitter for a chance to win the NFT that we're giving away. What I've been talking about on the show is that we love like NFT businesses or like Web3 businesses. So it's a lot more interesting to us to be able to talk to, these businesses that are actually doing something versus like have a sponsor on the show that's like, you know, selling an alien picture or something like that. So I'm excited to talk to Barrel X. We got Nicole, Matt, Kendrick from Barrel X on the show. How's it going, everybody?
GM, thank you so much for having us on this morning, Pio. Really excited to be here with you and the team. Lots of interesting conversations and a great segue to lead into Barrel X. So I'm just going to give you a quick little overview about our project, and then I'll turn it over to my co-founder, Matt, and it'll be interesting to see whether he's had whiskey for breakfast or he's had Red Bull or coffee, because there's no telling. So anyways, I'll just start that off. About Barrel X, we're a newly founded marketplace for the barrel aging spirits. We're disrupting century-old practices because we're altering the way that barrel-aging spirits are held, accessed, and traded. It's a first-of-its-kind marketplace that's opened the door to opportunities traditionally just reserved for industry insiders. Once the spirit comes of age, as predetermined by the smart contract, which in this case will be 4 years, Barrel X NFT holders have the ultimate utility, which is the option to sell rights associated with that NFT or redeem it for the actual physical bottles that come from those barrels. Each NFT corresponds to a tenth of a barrel, which is about 22 bottles. And we're going to be storing those in bonded rickhouses located in Kentucky that my partner Matt owns. So for this drop, we have 500 barrels. They're divided into tenths of rights of Kentucky bourbon. So you can buy one tenth. Again, that's 22 bottles up to a full barrel. You'll have the opportunity to choose the year, the mash bill, which is like the ingredients. And our prices range from $420 for a 6-month-old, $720 for a year and a half, $820 for a 2-year-old, $920 for a 3-year-old, or $1,020 for a 4-year-old. And you'll be able to dump that soon to get the physical bottles.
Awesome. So just to kind of break that down, so this NFT essentially represents fractional ownership of a barrel of aged whiskey, right? Down in Kentucky. And so, you know, Matt, you come from this business, you know, you have a lot of experience in this business. You're actually, the person that's providing custody for the barrels. Could you share a little bit about your background, a little bit about how the business started and why, you know, you elected to go the NFT route?
Yeah, man, I can do it. Appreciate it. I thought we might have it's almost good that you guys are in cyberspace so we don't have fist fights listening to you earlier. That's pretty, that's some good shit right there. Like, there's a lot of subtleties, that aren't so subtle. Hey, I wish I was all jacked up on Mountain Dew, man, but I'm on my fourth cup of coffee. And, it's not even that much, really. It's already pretty late in the day, right? 10 o'clock, here. So, yeah, I got into the bourbon business about 5 years ago, and we were building a brand. My background is accounting and corporate restructuring. I've been in that space. I was in that space for about 15 years before I had my first kid threw my suits into a metal barrel and burned the fuckers. So what I did was just walk away from everything corporate and move into – the beverage space where we can try to have some of our own successes and quit making money for a bunch of other folks. So, you know, my partner in the original business, which was a beer business, did the same thing. He was a vaccine developer and walked away from that shit. So, although in his case, I think it was just cause he liked beer, but the, let's see here. So I've been in space, beverage space, 12 years now, I think 12, 14 years, 5 years ago, getting to the bourbon space, started building Rick House as kind of a real estate play in the bourbon space. And we're loading in barrels from, other owners, which are firms and individuals and brands, et cetera. And I started really paying attention to what was going in and out of there. Meanwhile, we're trying to build a brand, and you know what I figured out is, hey, you ain't got no fucking liquid. You don't have any brand. So started looking for liquid. There is no liquid. So all right, I'm gonna build my own facility. So I got a few friends of mine together. We're building the ninth largest bourbon production facility in the United States. It'll put out 120,000 barrels a year. But that's how we got here, and that's almost finished. But along the way, I started buying and selling bourbon barrels. So that's barrel-aged bourbon that's aging already in the barrel, and that's what we're doing in this project. We have different
aging. That's on the secondary, right, Matt? So, like, you're buying those barrels on the secondary.
I buy them on the real secondary market, like the real-world secondary market, right? Or sometimes I buy them direct from manufacturers, but that's because they're friends of mine, and then I'm lucky to get maybe 1,000 or 800 barrels. On the secondary market, I buy thousands and thousands of barrels. We bought, or I should be buying today, probably another couple thousand. But what's happening is there's a market there that nobody can really see into, and nobody knows it exists because it's kind of a stuffy little marketplace where a bunch of guys are, you know, sitting around smoking cigars and trading barrels and shit. And it's archaic too. It's almost like you're in pink slip time. Like it's like penny stocks. I mean, okay, here's a piece of paper, send me the check. You know, you own the barrels, they're sitting right here. And so it's I would call it opaque. It's a real market. It's not like we're trying to develop a new market. We're trying to develop a new marketplace. This business model exists. And there are hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars that change hand every year with respect to aging spirits. And I have insight into the bourbon space. And so what I was looking for is a solution for a problem I had, which was there's two things. Number one, how do we track all this stuff and make sure that we know what we have? And that sounds simple. But let me tell you what, it's mostly done on pieces of paper with pencils. So that's and that's okay. It's traditional in Kentucky, but you know I can't live my life like that. So I have to use something really fancy called Excel. But there are limited abilities to manage inventories and to authenticate, verify, audit, all of that shit. Well, so I'm trying to figure out what do I do about this inventory system. And then I'm also looking at it going, if we could have an inventory system that was, you know, visible, that we had visibility into, why can't we turn this into a marketplace? So,
and hence the blockchain, right? Like yeah, that we provides yeah. that transparent visibility. Okay. So that's kind of the birth of it. Nick, you have your hand raised. Do you have a question for Matt and the team?
Well, I wanted to hear the rest of what that story was. So you basically sitting there with a bunch of barrels. Also, I don't even really drink, and I want to go have bourbon with you now after this whole conversation. So I appreciate that in turning me into a full blown alcoholic. But you had challenge tracking it. This was like a narrative that used to exist in the blockchain space a while ago about how this was going to become integral into supply chain management. I guess I'm wondering, like, so what was the leap to say, like, okay, we need to use NFTs for actually doing this? And is that what you're doing? Are you doing this on a barrel level or are you doing this on a bottle level?
Well, right now it's on a barrel level, but when you burn the NFT, what you get are the bottles. So you're participating in the process where the barrel is being manufactured, which includes the aging process from there to the point to where it's bottled, as opposed to a brand owning everything up to the point to where it's put into a bottle and you've got no, you know, you don't have any love for it. You haven't spent any time with it. You don't know exactly what you're doing. You just go to the store and pick up a fucking bottle. This is more than that. It's there's an emotional value here, I think, as well as if anybody feels about it like I do, there's going to be an emotional attachment to your barrels. But the genesis for us doing this is a conversation with Nicole, but then it's also, can I find somebody that can, I mean, listen, how many people did I talk to? I talked to freaking, I mean, I don't know. I had conversations with 20 fucking people and nobody could execute shit. Well, finally I found Nicole, her father and I go way back, and she has done this and knew how to get it done without us getting, in bed with the wrong folks along the way. And that's how we got here.
Well, that's super interesting. So you're saying, I'm curious here, what the actual NFT is that we're getting. And it sounds like what I'm getting is a barrel of bourbon.
Yeah. So ours is set up to where let me go back, take a little step back for a second. So when I go and buy barrels, I'm buying the 2000 I'm buying today or trying to buy, or I'm going to kick somebody's ass if it's not already done, is a $4 million purchase. Okay. Now, the only reason that's relevant is because, you know, I'm buying 4,000, I mean, I'm buying 2,000 fucking barrels and writing a $4 million check, but you can't go, you know, most people don't have access to that or the ability to go and get into that space. And listen, I'm not being, hey, I'm the stuffy rich white fuck that lives in Buckhead or lives in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, fuck Buckhead.
Listen, it's a fucking bubble. I just live inside of it, man, with my kids. My kids go to school here. I can't fucking leave, right? I mean, everything's here. I'm stuck. But Atlanta's been good to me, and I've been good to the community in Atlanta. But my point is this. I grew up in a fucking trailer park in Western North Carolina in a town called Kings Mountain outside of Charlotte. So we were stealing shit and fencing it to get beer money when we were 14 years old, right? And that was right after I had been homeless at age 14. So this is not a privileged position to be in. This is busting your ass and not taking a day off for 35 years and ending up where you are today. So knowing that people didn't have access to this liquid, you know, I mean, I might buy barrels that are I've got some barrels that are $30,000 a piece that I bought in the last couple of years. That you just don't have the ability to go and do that. So I wanted to make it more, I would call it bite size, so that, you know, even my friends can get involved in this. And you buy that fraction, the fraction ages. There's all kind of attributes to the NFT that Nicole can talk about. But at the end, you come see me at the fucking house. We'll put the shit in bottles and give it to you.
Wait, so hold on. So I'm just trying to get, this is incredible. So I just want to say thank you for coming on. B, so hold on. So I'm going to, I buy an NFT. I'm going to get a barrel, and now I'm going to come to your house and we're going to bottle.
Well, not my house. Actually, I will have a house there because I'm building like a tin cabin up where the distillery is. It's on 200 acres, but you're talking about, yeah, you can come to my house up there. I don't give a shit. But it's like, this is, I mean, we're just going to sit around and.
I'm just going to clarify, it's a Rick house where all the barrels
are. Okay, so real quick, ladies and gentlemen, a Rick house is a facility where you barrel alcohol, you barrel the bourbon. Okay, so go ahead, Matt.
That's all right, but Nicole, I have an actual, I'd like, build me a fucking shack up here. So I have a house, and I don't care if you come and see it or not. Like I'd be happy to have you over and tell stories around a fire, okay? So, but what at the Rick house, We have the community part of this, and remember, I'm .com. Fuck it, my technical skills are, to some degree, I can look at my bank accounts online, but that's not even usually the case. So I'm like, all right, this is going to work, Nicole. We can do this. All right, well then, you know, why don't we have a community? I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on. We pick up like 9,000 Twitter followers in a couple weeks or something like that. Can I get all these people up to the Rick house? If we're dumping barrels, let's dump them in a community way. And each of these barrels is unique. So if you have a tenth of a barrel, that equals a couple of cases of liquid. I'm going to give you the couple of cases of liquid when your liquid matures. But why don't we all do it at the same time? When there's a slot that comes out that's liquid that matures, we come up there, we dump some barrels, we sit around, bullshit. I sent a message this morning at 6 a.m. I said, build me a 25-foot bonfire pit. I want a 25-foot bonfire pit that I can put 500 people around, and I want to be, I want a stage near it that's far enough away so that it doesn't burn the fuck down. And I want, and that's where we'll get out into the weeds and move bottles of whiskey around that we've all brought in through our NFTs. You know, so you are buying that piece of the barrel, the fraction of the barrel. It matures. When it matures, it goes in the bottle and it becomes yours. If you don't want that shit, you can do like I do in every. You know, I hate selling barrels, but you can do like I do when I find a good deal or I find a somebody that wants something or needs something really bad, and I move barrels all the time. So you can. We have a secondary market here where folks can do that as well. If you want to just play the speculative side of this, play the speculative side of it. I'm in it because I love the liquid.
Okay, so this is incredible, and I just want to say we want to host an event with some of our portal members where we're just shooting the shit and we buy a barrel. Okay, now I don't even drink, but I'm gonna like
he'll drink that night. This,
I'm gonna probably be drinking that evening, and I'm just saying like we're gonna sit around a barrel. And a well, fire, hopefully, and then the barrels, next to it, hopefully not too close that it creates a whole situation there. But this sounds like a legitimate event. And, dude, loving the liquid.
I'm trying to figure out a way to blow the physical barrels up, just not, one at a time. But it's not that easy. So, I'll figure it out, and I'll show y'all how to do it. But I want to do some slow motion video and make a 53-gallon Molotov cocktail. I'm going to figure that shit out.
Okay, so this is going to be some, like, backyard event. I just want people to expectation.
So real quick. So we're
doing it.
We're having so much fun right now. We're going to keep this going. We're going to run over, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to draw the winner. So retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow, BarrelX for a chance to win. I'm going to draw the winner in a minute when Matt's talking again. I just want to – we're having a little bit of fun. First of all, I want to make sure everyone fully grasps what this is. So I'm just going to, give a pitch. And Nicole – Matt, Kendrick, and I want to give Mike a chance to ask questions, Nick a chance to ask questions, but Nicole, Kendrick, and Matt, correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, but basically, so if somebody buys the NFT, they have the option to buy either barrels that are younger, right? Because this stuff has to age over a period of years. So if you want to buy... Yeah, if you want to buy a younger barrel, that's the lower price point. If you want to buy at the higher price point, that's a barrel that's almost mature. So basically, if you want to wait it out a little bit and have the experience of owning the NFT and getting updates on the barrel and kind of getting into the game and having your barrel mature, you get it at a lower price point as basically like an investment, not financial advice. That's the lower price point. If you want to, get a more mature barrel, that's the higher price point, correct?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, basically the spirits age over time, and the older that they get and closer to the dump date where they get put into bottles, the more expensive they become. So essentially, you're cutting out the middleman that participates in that whole process. You have the access now. You have the democratization of this whole industry where you get to participate in that.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, there are people that are interested in, fine wine and spirits, right? Like high-end alcohol, and it's its own asset class. And if you do research on the asset class, it has performed really well, similar to fine art over the past decade, couple decades, right? So this is kind of an opportunity to get in the mix. And I mean, if it's going to be experiential where Matt is going to actually allow you to come to the facility, then I think that that's really cool too. And so basically you buy the NFT, that's fractional ownership of the barrel, and one NFT equals 22 bottles. Is that correct? Once the barrel is dumped, which is an industry term, right? The term is dumped. Then you have ownership of 22 barrels of this whiskey.
22 bottles, yes.
Oh, 22 bottles.
And we can ship wherever applicable states in the United States or whichever countries allow us to ship. So that's an option, or you can just come and pick it up at the Rick House in Kentucky. So there's different options for different people. And some people want to redeem and get the actual physical bottles. And some people want to sell and participate in the upside. One other quick point I want to talk about is that
the background of these NFTs are dynamic. So we've attached a weather oracle outside the Rick House in Kentucky. So you can actually watch the aging process when you see your NFT. You can pull it up and you can see if it's raining, if it's snowing, if it's springtime, because those elements actually affect the flavor of the liquid inside the barrel. So we want people to be able to see that. There's a countdown timer on your NFT as well. Every day it counts down till it gets closer to that dump date, so we can keep you informed of when you're going to be able to get those bottles.
Awesome. And one question that they had in the audience is the price points. So if I recall, there's four price points. Is that correct?
There's five price points. It's $420 for a tenth of a barrel for the 6 month old. It's $720 for a 1.5 year old. It's $820 for a 2 year old. It's $920 for a 3 year old, and $1,020 for a 4 year old, which is just about to get ready to be dumped into the bottles.
Okay. And just, I wanted to have a little fun and read some of the quotes from the Discord real quick, but we'll keep talking. We're going over here. But all of these comments are about Matt. Someone said this guy needs an animated series. He's like Family Guy, but cooler. I thought that was a pretty good one. authentic. That's good. One of them is, what am I listening to and why do I never want to stop listening to it? So that one that sounded pretty funny.
Because because you're sick. That's why.
Okay. Nick, so you're like a family member at this point. So we want to bring you back on the show in the future just to shoot the shit about NFTs. And we're going to help you navigate this this space outside of just these barrels. And we do want a barrel that we can host a barrel party. Now, how many bottles are in an entire barrel? Because it seems like this is one tenth. So one barrel is $10,000. How many bottles of bourbon are in that in one barrel?
Well, a couple. There's 200 and X. I mean, you're definitely going to get at age four the 22 bottles for each tenth. So that's I don't know. Somebody do the math there. That's a big equation. But
it's like $50 a bottle.
Yeah. So that's the stuff that's already ready to go. Now that when you're saying you want to do a barrel, do the barrel through the barrel X shit, right? So if you come and see me. Like everyday folks do, retailers, all kinds of guys. I'm gonna give you a barrel pick. I'm gonna pull out five barrels. It's not even gonna be a barrel that you chose, or it's gonna be one that I chose, right? It's and I'm gonna bottle that for you. I'm gonna sell it to you for like 15 G's. All right, that's how that's gonna go. If you come to me and say I need a bottle, I'm gonna go, all right, I need a barrel. Now this way is easier to do it. Plus, it's a lot more fun, and you get to participate in the process. What we're doing is extracting the value for our holders somewhere between it going into the barrel and it going into the bottle. Right? You could buy wholesale barrels if you want to write $10 and $20 million checks, or you can use our platform, which will become larger over time. But it's this is like trying to make this stuff palatable for you know. Everyday folks that maybe don't want to learn also, but you know, just to get this into people's hands and make it an opportunity that it's not for just the 20 or 30 people that I know that trade barrels.
Yeah, I just want to make one more quick point. So this is our first drop on BarrelX, but we plan to have many more drops, and not just with bourbon, but with tequila and rum and any aging spirit. So we're looking at this becoming the go-to marketplace for aging spirits to give people access to participate in the aging process, as well as the buying, selling, and trading, and then, of course, redeeming at a better price.
I mean, there you go. So that's awesome. Nick, go
here's ahead. The deal. If you haven't retweeted the tweet at the top, retweet the tweet, and not only are you going to have the opportunity to win one of these NFTs, but you know, we'll throw in the ability for you to come to this barrel party that we end up hosting. Okay. I'm going to throw in a free ticket to that barrel party. I don't know where and when this barrel party is going down, but it's definitely happening.
Okay? Yeah. The more I see, the more I talk, you know, the more I feel like I'm going to spend the next decade just shit-faced, you know? I mean, so, you know, we could have these parties. And yesterday I was talking to some guys. I'm like, look, man. You've got this community. I think it was CryptoPunks or so. I don't know what it is. And I'm almost hesitant to say, because I feel like the different communities are almost like tribes and beat the shit out of each other. So I have no affiliation with any of these guys. Okay. I'm only affiliated with alcohol. So if
you know, you want to do something with your community or for your community. Why wouldn't you use this as a way to do that, or at least a way to supplement the in real life events? You know, I mean, it just feels like something that everybody would want to partner with, because you can. There's all kind of IP relationships that Nicole could talk about, but. Well, I don't. Let's all get together. I don't give a shit. I mean, it's like, you can have a rave like every fucking weekend, man.
Well, there we go.
Yeah,
we're gonna party like there ain't
laughing.
No tomorrow with the barrel.
There was a quote there. I'm only affiliated with alcohol. That's about as legendary of a quote as you can get from Matt right there. We got a bunch of speakers on stage. This is your last chance to retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top and follow Barrel X for a chance to win. You're getting an NFT that represents 1/10 of a whiskey barrel. So no matter what, if you win this, you can't say you're not getting anything, because you're literally gonna get basically 22 barrels of whiskey from Matt's rickshaw down in Kentucky. So, I mean, hello. This is a pretty good
bottles,
retweet.
22 bottles, not barrels.
Yeah, bottles. I keep saying barrels. Sorry, guys. 22 barrels. Yeah, let's go get them into your barn that you have in New York City. No, I'm just kidding. 22 bottles. Vicky, Signal, Micah, whoever wants to ask Matt a question, go nuts.
Oh, I was just going to say, I have not been so excited in this NFT space for a fucking long time. As soon as Matt mentioned blowing up barrels, I was in my lounge going, yes, finally an NFT project I can get behind, blowing up shit that brings a whole new meaning to level 3. Count me in.
What the fuck is better than that? Blowing shit up. I don't know of anything.
I want to be able to press the button. I just want to see it just go kaboom.
We're all going to have like splinters in our face, and we're going to be loving it because we drank like an entire bottle of bourbon during this party. It's going
to
get real dirty.
I'm happy to go to the emergency and tell them why I've got splinters in my ass because we were blowing up barrels of whiskey. Rob's in. We're all in. Even the dog's in.
So I heard about this NFT on this morning show thing, and I ended up buying one of these barrel NFTs, and now I'm in Kentucky and we are blowing it up. Got a little bit of a splinter directly into my face, but no worries. It was totally fun and worth it.
Matt's like, that'll heal up in no time. So Signal, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I can't stop laughing. My God, Matt, I love hearing you talk. I just have this image of like myself drinking bourbon, chatting with you by the fire, and just like, there's a shotgun there. I don't know why. And then there's like a bear who's hanging there who got hunted. Like, I love this. I just got a question, right? So these 22 bottles, like, if I bought this as a gift for somebody else, these 22 bottles. Will they all be shipped to them, or can they be like, I want to only take 2 now and then I'm going to take 2 later on next year? So I'm just thinking about this from like a storage perspective, that some people might not have space for the 22 bottles in their house.
I'm waiting on Nicole.
We're going to so basically once you redeem for the 22 bottles, they all get shipped to you, and then you can give them away or keep them or decide whatever you want to do. But just from a logistics point of view, that's how we set it up, just to make it more streamlined.
All righty. And Papa _K, that's at Rick K ETH, is our winner. If he comes on stage, I saw him in the shows in the room. I invited him to the stage. So Papa K, Rick K ETH, you're the winner if you come on stage. So you got a couple minutes here while Mike asks a question. Otherwise, I'm going to draw another winner. I've invited you to the stage. Come on stage to claim your NFT that represents literally 22 bottles of bourbon. Oh, he's on stage. Before Mike's question, how does it feel, Papa K, to be our winner? You got to unmute, amigo. But you won. You're on stage. Oop. You won. You're here.
Can you hear me?
We can. Yeah.
All right, yeah, pretty damn awesome after hearing him talk about all that. I definitely want to blow up some barrels.
Fuck yeah.
Papa K, are you an alcoholic?
What type of question is that? Do you have a crippling problem?
If he does, then today's a pretty good day. 22 bottles.
Not an alcoholic, but I do endeavor.
Awesome, Papa K. Well, I DM'd you winner. If you want to respond with your Ethereum address, that'd be awesome. Micah, do you have a question for the Barrel X
team? Yeah,
I mean, I have so many questions. I mean, I love the idea. I have so many questions, but I guess just one simple one is there a date by which you have to take the physicals? Like, I don't know that much about like storage wise or whatever, because right, if somebody gets the 6 month one, but they're really just a degenerate trader trying to trade it to someone else, is there a moment where you get looped into like, you have to take these 22 barrels, like the NFT is null, like give us your address? Or is it something where there can be a little bit more like leeway in terms of when that 6 month or 1 point, whatever years comes up, that yeah, there's a little bit of extra time?
That's a great question. So all the barrels are getting dumped at 4 years. So once they get dumped, we give you 45 days to decide whether you want to sell it or you want to redeem it. If you don't want to redeem it, you don't want to have it shipped, then you can just put it back on the marketplace and sell it and trade it.
Wait, so even the if you get a 6 month one, it's still like you're just not going to start it until 3.5 years from now? Or
no, the 6 month that? The 6 month old has already been aging for 6 months. So basically, yeah, you're participating in the upside of the process, and then it gets dumped at 4 years old. So you're buying a younger bourbon. So we dump all of them at 4 years. That's what it takes to be considered a Kentucky bourbon. So we age it for you, and then you have the option to buy earlier or to buy one that's already about to be dumped into bottles.
Ah, perfect. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, 4 years is where I like it. 2 years is people will dump barrels at 2 years. It's not where it needs to be yet. 4 years, because we're selling tens of barrels, you can't be arbitrary about it. But the backup drops will have whole barrels that people can decide when they want to dump those barrels.
And also, looking at the research, like there's a wide discrepancy in like pricing and what, you know, what like different alcohol brands are trying to trigger. So like, who are you trying to make your competitors? Like what level of like, I know nothing about bourbon, so maybe that's a more complex question of like what goes into it.
I don't have competitors, right? This is a marketplace for everybody. So we're in talks with other brands, other bourbon brands, tequila brands, other brands using our platform to do this. So we have our platform, this platform where you're seeing the value proposition of the drop that we have right now. And then if you, and then there'll be a broader marketplace that's got barrels on it where people are trading and slinging barrels, but it's not exclusive to my brands. You know, I mean, this is for everyone. All brands.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, that's cool. That's a good answer.
Well, look, thank you guys so much, you know, for coming on today. This was so much fun. We're 15 minutes over and I feel like we could go for another hour. This is an absolute jam. Nick, go ahead. We're following up with Matt about a party down in Kentucky, huh?
Well, yeah, that's the conclusion. I think there's definitely a party that's going to be going on here.
All right, utility for portal holders. Come blow shit up and drink booze with us and Matt, the absolute legend from the show.
Although,
go ahead.
I want to say Witter is in the Discord saying that kind of putting up some competition as a place of potential venue for hosting these. So this party. So we'll end up breaking down whether or not it's in Kentucky or North Carolina. So we're going to see how this goes down.
Well, you got to dump barrels where you're licensed. So you do whatever you like, but unless you have a high tolerance for pain at about 50 G's, you're not going to get a manufacturer's license where you can dump these fucking things.
Well, Witters was just trying to start a Kentucky versus North Carolina turf war, and I don't want any of that mess.
Listen, I'm from North Carolina, so I'll go to North Carolina and hang out, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to dump whiskey there because it's not where I'm licensed to do it.
That's right. Matt's above board, ladies and gentlemen. Well, hey, this was probably the funnest sponsor we've ever had. What a jam. If you buy this NFT, you're literally buying the right to 22 bottles. And if you buy, quote unquote, early, like the youngest barrel, 6 months old, by the time it's, you know, matured, you have to think that you'll see some appreciation. Obviously, not financial advice. The BarrelX team is not guaranteeing that. But what a fun sponsorship. Thank you guys so much for coming. And I got a special song to close out with. But, you know, thank you so much, Matt, Kendrick, and Nicole.
Thank you. And we have our Allow List Mint that's starting today at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I know that your team had a list going. If anybody's on that list, don't forget to mint. We only have limited supplies of each of the years. So get in early and get the ones you want.
Absolutely. We had an allow list giveaway in the Discord, so thank you all for that. And yeah, we'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check out BarrelX. This was a fun one, a real Web3 business, not just a picture of like a donkey or something on the internet. We will catch you guys next time. Whiskey in the Jar by Metallica.